Good morning. We grow as we are fed by the word and nourished at the Lord's table. The reading today is from 2 Kings 5, 1-3 and 7-15c. Naaman, a Syrian general, suffers from leprosy. In this passage, Elisha miraculously cures his illness, but only after Naaman realizes, with the help of his servants, that he also needs healing for his pride. This foreign general then acknowledges the sovereignty of the God of Israel. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now, the Araminians, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me, a cure, a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abna and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage, but his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Here ends the reading. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
We continue on page.
For this Sunday is from Luke chapter 17. Now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, Jesus said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there are a lot of things that, when you reach my age, that you tend to forget. Like, why did you leave the room in the first place and where were you going? To, where did you put my keys? To just what day it is sometimes. But there is one thing that I will never forget, and my guess is that you will never forget this either, because my guess is your mom and dad have taught you this well, and all of us well. My mom and dad drilled this home into us growing up every day, it seemed like, and that tape keeps playing in my head. When you get something, what do you need to do? Don't forget to say thank you. Ah, you grew up in the same home, huh? To say thank you. That became an important lesson that I have learned. I've tried to teach that to my children. I've tried to teach that to my grandchildren, and this is how I play the game with them. Sometimes I'll say, you're welcome. And then I wait. You know, you're welcome. Oh, thank you. You know, and then they run off. I want to suggest to you today that thank you, say thank you, is one of the most significant and powerful things that you and I can ever do. Now, marketing experts already know that. If you go to Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore and look on the shelves on business, you will see that in those books, on bestsellers on business, there's going to be something that's going to tell you that it is important that you send a timely thank you note if you want to get ahead or influence people, or if you want to make an impression or make a new client. True as this may be, I'm not talking about this kind of cynical manipulation in the story today. I'm talking about what we discover of who we are when we develop a habit of saying thank you, thank you. So today's gospel starts with a story about healing, right? 10 lepers approach Jesus. He sends them to the priests, and as they went, they were made clean. That's what we are told. Up to this point in the story, we've learned a lot about healing. We've learned that God in Jesus Christ actually listens to those who call out to him for mercy. That's good news. We've learned that the way to respond to Jesus and to find healing is simply obedience. Go and show yourself to the priest. Okay. Remember in the Naaman story that we heard earlier? Naaman is devastated that Elisha doesn't put on a big show. You know, come on, razzle and dazzle me. But instead simply asks him to go wash 7 times in the River Jordan, which is not exactly a very clean river. And then Naaman's servant says this most important word in all of Scripture, I think, about discipleship. You know, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all the prophet said was, wash and be clean? The small acts of faithfulness and obedience are sometimes more significant than all the grand gestures that we assume should be happening. We've also learned that healing sometimes takes time. I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus, as he was walking on this border between Galilee and Samaria, he tells the lepers to go and tell the priests. Now, most of them, the 9 of them at least, were not Samaritans, so they would probably have to traipse all the way down to Jerusalem, which is a long way. It says in the story that they were healed along the way. It doesn't say instantaneously. It says along the way. So we've learned a lot about healing. By the time we get to this part, one leper coming back to say thank you. And then that second part of the story, it tells us one more thing about healing, and that's that there's a difference between healing and salvation. All 10 of the lepers were healed. Only one of them is saved. At least we're told that all 10 of the lepers get to live their lives free from social stigma, from all kinds of discrimination, and all kinds of exclusion. That's what leprosy did. That's why you had to walk down the middle of the road and yell unclean. Only one of them would get to enter into this company of Jesus. For 9 of the lepers, Jesus is a means to an end. To the one who comes back, Jesus is an end in himself. And the key to the difference between that one leper and the 9 lies in those 2 simple words, thank you. By saying thank you, that one leper was saying, oh, by the way, this is not a story about me. This is fundamentally a story about God. I have been healed not because I trained for it, or I researched it, or I dieted, or I even because I prayed a whole lot on my knees or standing up or sitting down. When we receive a gift, we are naturally drawn to that item. If I give you a gift wrapped up, you open it up. Kids do this, right? They pull out the gift and they look at the item and they go, that's their focus. In this story, the thank you is not about the item. The thank you is directed towards the one who has given the gift, who took time, who listened, who was willing to engage and become involved in the pain of that person's life. Remember Jesus' words about the man born blind? It's in John's Gospel, chapter 9. That man born blind was done so, Jesus says, so that the work of God could be revealed in him. It's an interesting phrase. Maybe when we are reflecting in our own lives, past, present, or future, do we judge our lives based on how much we've achieved? It's typically what the world does. How many people love us? It's typically what pastors do. How much stuff we possess? Or do we judge our lives on whether they are the kind of a life in which the work of God has actually been revealed? The curious thing is that the work of God isn't just or even mostly revealed in the lives of accomplishments and successes. The glory and the work of God tends mostly to be revealed in lives that are broken and have got a lot of holes in them. There is a contemporary song that puts it this way. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So when we say thank you to God, it isn't something we do when we've been given lots of success or lots of stuff or lots of love. It's to recognize that we have been given lives in which the work of God can now be revealed. Isn't that what we say at baptism? Let your light so shine so that others may see your good works. And here's where it continues. So that they may give God the glory. The Samaritan leper had such a life. And I believe we can also. And if we've been given lives in which the work of God can be revealed, that means that we've been given a part to play in God's story. Just imagine the Samaritan leper waking up one morning. And he's all of a sudden he's told, it's good news, Jesus is coming by here later. And if you play your cards right, you could end up appearing in the Gospel of St. Luke and being talked about by Christians for centuries. That's quite a wake-up call. But just think for a moment, how is that different from the wake-up call that you and I receive every day? You and I have been invited into the story of God as well. You and I have lives in which the work of God can be revealed any day. Be the light, we say this year in this congregation. Be the light that shows God in the world. And the way to play our cards right and to get to be part of that story is quite simple. Even more simpler than Nahum's response to Elijah. It's praise God and say thank you. When we praise God and say thank you, we recognize that life may not have been this way at all. It may not have been the same. God might not have created the world. God might not have created human beings. God might not have sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church. God might not have created you and me. It might all have been a very different story. There might not have been a place for you. There might not have been a place for any of us. And the way we recognize that things might have been very different lies in saying those two words. Thank you. Now I know we tend to forget the big picture because we're so focused on this minor details of our life. We take the world and our existence, even Jesus, for granted. And we concentrate on the parts that seem to go wrong. We discover that our family isn't as happy as other families. We look for someone to blame, one of our parents perhaps, or one of theirs. We find ourselves isolated from the way other people are woven into God's story, and so we take to to imagining that we have a level of pain or hurt that is so much greater than anyone else's. And until that pain is heard and listened to and understood and affirmed, we refuse to trust or engage or enjoy the bigger story, to a life that is somehow stuck in resentment. Gratitude is a stranger. This past week at our text study with pastors, one pastor said, fear, the fear of all kinds of things that we might have, fear will never allow gratitude to live. Think about that. The only medicine for a life turned in on itself, which is what our life tends to be, is rediscovering the art of saying thank you. When he said thank you, the Samaritan leper entered a whole new community. Luke's gospel is all about bringing people out of the exile of political oppression and physical sickness and spiritual blindness and communal exclusion by forming a new community in Jesus Christ. Four times in Luke's gospel, Jesus says these words, "Your faith has made you well." So let's look at those four times. Who's included in that? First, it's the woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Everyone knew she was a sinner. She probably was a prostitute. The second is the woman with the 12 years of hemorrhaging. And when you have that kind of blood flowing, you are always excluded from the community. The third is the Samaritan leper that we heard in this story. And the fourth is a blind beggar. In other words, Jesus makes a new community out of the sinner, the sick, the second class, and the disabled, the foreigner, and the socially excluded. And they are all astonished and joyful at and full of thanks for being part of God's story, that Jesus included them. They turn out to be people in whom the work of God is then revealed. And you can become one of those. We can become one of those by learning to say the words, thank you. And we will be an interesting company. You and I come to church to join this company of people in whom the work of God is revealed. And it turns out that first among them are sinners and sick and second class and disabled and foreigners and socially excluded. And what we discover, it's a wonderful company to be in, so long as one never makes the mistake of thinking it's a limited company. There are more to be included. And it's a company you enter when you say thank you. When you say thank you to the person who serves you food at a restaurant, to the person who holds the door open for you, to the person who notices that you're limping, to the person who handles your groceries in the checkout line, to the persons who rush to your aid when we fall. In that small way, we're realizing that it didn't have to be this way, and you're recognizing that God, this person, that God has given you this person, and you now are part of a bigger story, a story in which people are overwhelmed, not by what they've suffered, but what they've received. To say thank you is to recognize our dependence on another person and to say to them, you make my life possible. And to say thank you is slowly, gradually, to become the most powerful person in the world. The person who is so filled with awe and wonder, with life and grace, that they have been given by God, that no suffering, these are St. Paul's words, no suffering or cruelty or manipulation or misunderstanding or disease or tragedy can break that spirit. The most powerful person in the world is the one who, in the face of horror and scarcity, can only see beyond it to the work of God and to God's promise of abundance. Nothing can destroy such a person. Look in your bulletins to the first hymn we sang. You know that hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," right? Look at the very bottom in very small print if you can read it. It was written by a man by the name of Martin Linkert. He was a pastor in the small German town of Eilenburg in 1618. It was right at the beginning of the 30 Years' War, a horrific war. It was so horrible that in Germany there were 16 million people. At the end of this war, only 6 million survived. Eilenburg was a city that was surrounded by a wall, it became a crowded place for safety. People just flocked to it. It became jammed, packed, overpopulated. And what happened? This city was vulnerable for disease and famine. In the year 1637, there was a terrible plague. Martin Rinkert was the only pastor in this city. He conducted 4,000 funerals one year. He conducted 50 funerals a day. As the signs of peace and the tide of slaughter, famine and plague began to recede in 1640, Martin Rinkert, who had lost half of his household, including his wife, who could have said, you could have said, hey, this guy's got every reason to be just angry and nasty and cynical. He wrote down the words of a German hymn, Nun danket aller Gott, which we know in English as Now Thank We All Our God. Look at that hymn. Read it with that in mind, that this man who had every right to complain, to see the dark side of life, ended up saying two words, thank you. Viewing the wreckage of war and the folly of his human beings, he was able to see still the grace and the work of God, which had given him life, had given him Jesus, had given him hope, had given him unlikely friends, and still gave him faith. Like Naaman, he did the simple thing and just said thank you. It's difficult to imagine what it might have meant for Martin Rinkert to be healed. And in writing this hymn, he displayed what we rediscover when we sing it today, the power of saying thank you. He saw the work of God revealed. Through him, the work of God was revealed. It was revealed through his ability and willingness, even amid untold suffering, to say thank you. Thank you, not that he made it through, but thank you to the God of wonder and glory who created us all, who suffers in our suffering, and who alone can raise us up to a new life. May we too learn to say thank you in great ways and in small. And may we too become people in whom the glory of God, the work of God, is revealed. Amen.